Hi, this is Jovi.
This is Charlie.
And you're listening to
Bed Crime Stories. This is a weekly true crime podcast where we pour ourselves a drink and we take turns telling each other the stories that keep us up at night.
Why are we weird? Why are
I don't
we
know.
Weird?
We got to keep it fun for everybody.
I mean, I guess, but the you worst... know? Well, no, actually, it's not the worst part. The funny part is that we matched our tone perfectly without even like thinking about it.
With zero rehearsal times.
Yes. 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 Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that we don't rehearse this at all.
It's clear.
I think
it's clear. Yeah. I will go out on a limb and say, that's pretty clear. Yeah. Pretty clear. What's going on, man? Watching anything fun? See anything new and exciting? Reading any cool books or anything like that?
Oh, I'm always reading. Besides the Love Has Won documentary, I'm not really watching anything new on TV. Mm-hmm. We actually decided to rewatch the Lord of the Rings movies, so that's been fun. We just finished the second one, so now all we have is the last one, which I think is Return of the King. I think we also went to the movies the other day. We went to go see Five Nights at Freddy's, and it was actually really good. Really good. It's not as
Josh Hutcherson, isn't it?
Yes. And
I love Josh Hutcherson.
It's so funny because like I knew that, but I forgot. So when I see him, I was like, I want some bread. Like that was honestly
love me some pita.
Yes, I was like, I need bread now. But no, it was really good. I actually cried. It's not scary. It's more of those jump scare kind of a things, but it's not it's kind of like a Scream kind of scary. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah.
I actually think that you would be okay watching it. I do.
Okay. Yeah, not a scary movie kind of gal.
No, I know. And reading wise, I actually just finished a book called The Many Lives of Mama Love. And it was fucking fantastic. It was an autobiography of this woman who went to jail for identity theft and credit card fraud and all this. And like, it goes into how she was a drug addict and she completely turned herself around. And now she's like this successful New York Times bestseller author and ghostwriter and all this. And I'm just like, wow, just wow. It was just so cool to read. And you don't realize how good you have it until you read something like that. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check it out if you'd like. I am reading another book now, though. I don't know what it's called. I don't remember it. And it's too far away for me to go look, but it's also very good.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. I've read like 35 books this year. So my goal next year is to honestly try to read a book a week or a book every other week.
Nice.
I'm going to do it.
Very nice. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. What about you, Charlie? What's going on with you? Watching, reading, listening to anything?
So, not really. I also Love Is One show. Got to finish that. I finished rewatching Under the Banner of Heaven, the show with Andrew Garfield in it, because it's so good and he's amazing in it.
Agreed.
I mean, just so amazing in it. I've been rewatching the original Hunger Games trilogy a bunch because Songbirds and Snakes is out, and I haven't gotten to see it yet, but I really, really want to see it.
Yeah.
The prequel. Big Hunger Games stan up in here. So I've been watching it, like, honestly, the four movies, I've been just watching them like over and over and over again. And also, I started watching Grey's Anatomy.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yes, randomly on my TikTok For You page, I've been getting this random account that just posts clips of Grey's Anatomy episodes.
Okay.
And it hooks me. Like, they'll show this like clip and get you into the story. And then I'm like, okay, now I need to know what fucking happens. Does this person live or die? Like, have they figured it out? So I started watching. I'm already like halfway through season two.
Wow.
Now it's 19 seasons.
Yeah.
I do not think that I'm going to make it all the way through.
Like, probably not.
I can see myself getting to win and being like, okay, now I'm like done. I also know that like, there's definitely a happens often that Grey's Anatomy is very known for killing off its characters. So
Yes.
like I know once I get through up to a point where like I've cycled through all the people that I really, really like and they're all dead, I'm gonna be like, all right, I can't watch this shit anymore. So I don't think I'm gonna watch all 19 seasons. It's like 420 something episodes has come out, but I, you know, definitely have started it. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm enjoying it. It makes me laugh. It's, I don't know. I like it. I
I
like it
think
so far.
when I attempted to watch it, I think I made it to season 5 or season 6. And then I was just like,
It's the same thing over and over.
I don't like Katherine Heigl.
Yeah.
I can only take so much of her. And it is. It's the same thing over and over again. It's the same drama over and I'm just like, I'm good.
Yeah. And like I'm only in season two and I've already gotten to the pick me, love me, choose me, that part. I'm like, all right. I'm getting all the greatest hits already and I'm in season two.
Yeah.
So I like I said, I have a feeling it's not gonna last long, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
So yeah, watching Grey's Anatomy.
Everybody has to try it, you know?
I think so. I think so. And I mean, I'm sorry, there's gotta be something said for a show that lasts as long as it does. So,
Yeah.
you
Yeah,
know,
this is true.
but
Very, very true.
that's pretty much it. That's all that's been going on with me. Oh, I didn't get to tell you last week. We were talking about Thanksgiving. So at work, we did like, of course, like Friendsgivings and stuff like that at work, the potlucks, whatever. And the one that we did with our team was a murder mystery one.
Nice.
It was really fun. It was really, really fun. So I just wanted to like mention that. It was cute. It was
Nice.
really cute. One of my employees did a really good job getting it all together and stuff, and we had a really good time. But
That's awesome.
yes, one of our regular listeners happens to be on my team, and she was actually the per the she was our victim. So it was,
Nice.
yeah, it was really
Nice.
fun.
Were you the
But
killer?
I was not. I wanted to be, but I wasn't. I was very sad that I didn't get to be the killer. But it was very cute. It was a very well done production. We had a good time. It was something different than just, you know, sitting around eating food and looking at each other. So it
Right.
was good.
Which is pretty key when you do those kind of things. 'Cause I mean, how
Exactly.
many times you'd be like, so,
So what do you guys have planned for tomorrow for the
like,
holiday?
what are you gonna
Exactly.
eat? Are you gonna eat turkey? Yeah, okay. Like,
So me too. Yeah. Exactly. But yep, that's what's been going on.
very nice. Well, I heard that you have a story for us this week, Charlie.
I do have a story this week. It is a local story.
Okay.
This was suggested to me from a listener and very good friend of mine, Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Heart you. Love you long time. Thank you for this suggestion. I was like in a major writer's block and I messaged her. Her and I were, she messaged me about something else and I messaged her back. I'm like, hey, since we're chatting, question, do you have a story I could do? So she passed along, actually, she passed along too. This one was the one that definitely stood out to me. And, yeah, like I said, it is local to us here in Western Florida, West Central Florida. So, yeah, I'm going to be telling the story about the murder of Linda Slayton. Slayton. And I have two resources today. The one source is oxygen.com, and the primary source is really an episode of 48 Hours on good old Paramount Plus.
Nice.
And the 48 Hours episode is called The Betrayal of Linda Slayton.
Okay.
So really it's just kind of a retelling of the 48 hours episode.
Hey,
So
nothing wrong with that.
let's get into it. So we start our story on September 4th, 1981. We are in Lakeland, Florida, which is a large suburb. It's about halfway between Orlando and Tampa. A woman named Judy Butler walks over to her big sister Linda Slayton's apartment to have a morning cup of coffee with her. They live in the same exact apartment complex. It's like a apartment complex of like duplexes. So you're walking through the neighborhood to get to each other's apartment type of a thing. So Judy knocks on the door. Sister does not answer. She starts to make her way back down the street to her own apartment and looked kind of over her shoulder back at her sister's apartment and noticed something odd. She noticed that Linda's bedroom window was open and that the screen was off of the window.
That's
So, yeah.
alarming.
Alarming. So Judy walked over to her sister's bedroom window, which tell you right now, I wouldn't do. I would
Nope.
immediately call the cops, but
100%.
Judy's
Yep.
a stronger woman than me. Judy looked into her sister's bedroom, and after realizing what she was seeing, she begins to scream. She had discovered her big sister's body lying partially nude across her bed with a coat hanger twisted around her neck.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, this is why, exactly. This is why you call the cops right the fuck away.
You don't have to live with
Wow.
that. Yeah, you don't have to
No.
live with that. When police arrive, they wake up Linda's two sons. So her two sons were asleep in the house.
Oh my God.
Yes, her 15-year-old son Jeff was asleep on a cot in the living room. So it's a small house, two bedroom, little apartment. So the older son slept on a cot in the living room. He wakes up because he hears like the chirping of the police radios from the cops that were in the bedroom. An officer comes into the living room, sees Jeff there, and instructs him to go outside and wait outside. So when he gets outside, he sees there's like a ton of cop cars. There's already media outlets starting to show up at the house, and he finds his Aunt Judy standing on the sidewalk crying, and she tells him that his mother had been killed.
Oh my God.
An officer goes into the second bedroom and wakes up 12-year-old Tim and goes to get him outside as well. And as Tim is walking towards the front door, another police officer exits the master bedroom where Linda's body was, and Tim, 12 years old, sees the entire crime scene.
Oh my fucking God,
Yeah.
seriously?
Yeah, they interviewed both brothers on the 48 Hours episode, and you can see the look in this man's eyes, Tim's eyes, of just he sees that every single day. You know, like that's just never going to leave him, that poor guy. Linda's a single mom. She left the boy's abusive father. He's about 5 years prior. The father was an alcoholic, and as he continued to abuse alcohol, he started to abuse Linda as well, to the point where the boys would sometimes step in to stop their father from hitting their mother. So she leaves. She struggles to make ends meet to support her son. She actually made her clothes, and because she couldn't afford to buy new stuff, she couldn't afford a car. So they relied on friends, neighbors to drive them places. And the boys were really into football, like peewee football. And the football coach used to drive them to and from practice. On the last day that she was alive, Jeff, the 15-year-old, recalls that he had had an argument with his mom that day. And he says in the show that, you know, he was a typical teenage boy, mouthy, would, you know, be, he was 15, right? He was a
Yeah,
typical
teenager.
teenage boy. And he was frustrated that day because there was nothing in the house to eat. So he like snapped at his mom, gets on his bike, and goes across town to his grandparents' house to spend the day and go get something to eat because he's like pissed. Around 7:30 that evening, Tim, the 12-year-old, was brought home from football practice by Coach Joe Mills, and he spent the evening with his mom at a neighbor's. They walked next door, and the neighbors were having like a little party, so they went over there to like play cards and hang out with the neighbors. Jeff's grandparents bring him home around 9 p.m. that evening. Linda and Tim return from the neighbor's house around 11 p.m. Jeff recalls that before they all went to bed, it was about midnight, he and his mom reconciled.
Okay. That's
So
thank
he,
God.
I know, I know.
Oh
'Cause when
my
they first started
God.
talking about it on the show, he's like, we had a fight that day. I'm like, oh my God, this poor guy.
Yep.
But they did wind up making up before they went to bed.
Good.
She was like doing the dishes, and he walked in and he, you know, said he loved her and gave her a hug, and they went to
See,
bed.
this is why you don't go to bed angry. And you always
Amen.
make sure to tell everyone, you make sure to say I love you. That's like you have to. You have
Absolutely.
to.
Absolutely. They interview a man. He is a former sergeant named Edgar Pickett, and he was a fingerprint expert with the Lakeland Police Department at the time. When they interviewed him, he's 94 years old.
Oh
He
my
was a
God.
yeah, he was a year away from retirement. He's a cute little old black man. He was the cutest thing in the world. He was a year from retiring when the crime happened in 1981. And he can still recall like the most minuscule details from the crime scene. He was able to pull a thumbprint and a palm print from the windowsill of Linda's bedroom.
Oh,
So
wow.
he was able to get some evidence right there on the windowsill. It turns out that Linda had been sexually assaulted before she was strangled to death. A rape kit was performed. A sample of semen was collected, along with additional swabs from marks on her body were taken. After their mother's murder, the boys moved in with their grandparents. The family was in a constant state of fear. So the boys, for especially the first few weeks, like just didn't even leave the house. They didn't go to school for a little bit of time. They would all sleep in the same room with their grandmother. And while they were sleeping, the grandfather would stay up all night and keep watch with a gun, trying to protect the family because it just completely, like, of course, like completely locked their world.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
They tried to get the boys back into a routine that was somewhat normal. And after a few weeks, they do wind up going back to school. They start to go back to playing football again and being with friends, teammates, and his coach, Joe. Tim really started to thrive again. That he was the younger one. He states that he really looked up to Coach Joe specifically, that the coach was always really supportive of him, cared for him and his older brother. And about a month after his mom died, the football team took a big team photo and he hung it up in his bedroom and kept it hung in his house until for years until he was a fully grown adult, because it just gave him like that comfort. It was the thing that made him happy after this terrible thing that happened to him. Frank Slayton, Linda's ex-husband, the boy's father, quickly becomes a person of interest. So his history with alcohol abuse and, of course, violence towards Linda, himself puts him right at the top of the list. However, Frank had a pretty airtight alibi. He was home in Alabama the night that Linda was killed. She also had a boyfriend at the time of her death, and he was considered as well, but he too had an airtight alibi. They talk to neighbors, they talk to friends, they talk to people in the community, and nobody was charged with the murder. There was no leads that they could see were viable leads. The Lakeland police begin to question the oldest son, Jeff. So he's 15 years old, like I said a couple of times at this point. He is taken out of school on numerous occasions by investigators to be interrogated about the night of the murder. He admitted to detectives again about the arguments that he and his mom would have, including the fight that they had the day that she was killed. And again, explained to them, like, look, I'm 15. I'm a
What do
shit,
you
right?
expect?
Like, it is what it is. Yeah. They administered a lie detector test, which he passed. They even went so far as to try and get him to be questioned under hypnosis. At one point, a detective stated to Jeff that he had big hands for a teenager and it would have been really easy for him to have strangled his mother. His grandparents finally at one point was just kind of like, knock it the fuck off, leave this kid alone and go find the person that killed our daughter. Like, what the hell is
Seriously.
wrong with you people?
Like, he's been through enough. And the fact
Legit.
that you keep harping on him and just accusing it, like, come
You're
on.
making the other person more and more get away with it, type of a thing, you know? Jeff is given yet another polygraph test, which he also passed, and finally he's cleared. Then the case goes cold. So over the years, both boys start their own families. They have kids, they grow up, they get married, the whole nine. But they always carried with him, like always carried with them, obviously, the loss of their mother, but also the guilt that they weren't woken up that night and couldn't save her. And I think it also goes back to the fact that they would often be able to stand between their mom and their father when he would get violent. Like, I think that they felt that they could have saved her if they had only been like woken up. So they just really carried with them an awful lot of guilt. And they started to just call the man who killed her the monster. And he became this like entity that they were afraid of their whole lives, right? And he was out there somewhere, and they didn't know, like, who is this person who came into our home and killed our mom?
And like I feel like that makes it 10 times worse because it's like they have to fear for their safety and now their family safety, their kids' safety. It's just that's terrible. That has to be terrible to live with over your head.
So just under 20 years after Linda's murder, so she was murdered in 1981. We're in 1999 now. Her murder is reopened as a cold case. So there's a new cold case investigator who happened to be friends with Jeff, the older son, like They went to school together. They happened to know each other. So Jeff was close to this cold case investigator. And he reopens the case now that there's all of this new technology that they can use. So they send the samples from the crime scene, the DNA samples, to the FDLE, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And by the end of 1999, they were able to develop a full DNA profile of the person suspected of killing Linda.
Nice.
All they need now is a match, right? Now, Frank Slayton, their father, he at this point has stopped drinking. He voluntarily gives his DNA to prove that he was not involved in any way, shape, or form, which I give respect on that. So he was finally for good cleared. And even though now they have this profile, they can't find a match. There's no match based on the other previous persons of interest. In 2001, detectives feel that they have a solid lead. So, a year after Linda's murder, there was a man named Jimmy Ulmer who had pulled a 10-year-old girl through her bedroom window and attacked her. Thankfully, this little girl lived, but Ulmer was convicted and sent to prison for 80 years for the crime. Due to the similarities of the case and the fact that at the time of Linda's murder, Jimmy Ulmer was staying at a friend's house in the same apartment complex as Linda,
Oh, shit.
he once again, now a new person, shooting to the top of the suspects list. Detectives run a DNA sample from Ulmer's mother. He had since passed. He was no longer alive. Detectives run a DNA sample from Ulmer's mother, expecting that this is it. Like, we just have to confirm. It was not a match.
Oh shit.
Yes.
That would have been such a nice little neat bow on top of that. Wow.
So a couple more years go by. Now it's 2005. The FBI is now beginning to continuously run the DNA profile in the national database. But because they're not getting any hits, detectives start to assume that the killer may have died not long after the murder took place and may never be found, that this is just going to go cold. They're never going to be able to figure out who this person is. Then in 2009, ancestral DNA enters the chat.
Nice. Oh, I love
Charlie's
this
fucking
so
favorite.
much.
Me
Yes.
too.
Yes.
So a woman named Cece Moore, she's a genetic DNA expert, takes on the case. She uploads the DNA profile that was built by investigators to GEDmatch, which is a website that you can use and upload your own DNA profile to after getting it to Ancestry or 23andMe. So she uploads it to GEDmatch and she begins to build a family tree based on the partial matches that she's able to get from the site. So she basically takes all these partial matches and drills down using birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, census data, social media posts, etc., and is able to kind of like build a family tree around a blank space. Like, okay,
Oh,
this is our
shit.
killer. Who is related to him in what way through all of this different data we have?
That's so fucking impressive.
Legit fucking DNA is amazing.
I love it.
It took her only 2 days to collect enough information needed to name the suspect in Linda's murder.
Fucking yes.
And it came down to one name, Joseph Clinton Mills, better known as Coach Joe.
Stop it. Are you fucking kidding me? I did not see that coming.
I
Oh
know, I
my
purposely
God.
wrote it that way.
Oh my God. What?
So it turns out that in 1981, within a day after Linda's murder, Joe, at only 20 years old, was interviewed.
Oh.
But it really was just like a routine interview to like corroborate the timeline from the day before. Like, yes, I dropped Tim off at blank time. Like that was all they interviewed him. It was over the phone. It was a phone interview. They didn't have him like questioned, etc. He was not a blip on their radar, considered a suspect.
See, and that's a little frustrating considering how they drilled her son. And yet, here's Coach Mills. It was like, okay, thanks, bye. Like, not even nothing. Wow.
So at the time of the murder, there's no reason to suspect that anything was out of the ordinary because he had done it so many times to drive Tim back and forth to practice. Like it wasn't, for that particular day, it wasn't uncommon for him to do it. And he continued to do it even after she died. So it wasn't like he dropped in their life and dropped back out. And there's no reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not making excuses, but at the
No, I
same time,
know.
like, you get why they didn't think that it
No, I
would make
know.
sense.
I do get that, but like also in playing devil's advocate, which is your favorite thing in the
As I
world.
am so wont to do, yes.
Yes. At the same time though, because he's so involved and he does do it all the time, you would think that they would have him on that list because, hey, guess what? He was part of her life. You know, he was always with the kids. He always dropped them off. He was always in and out of that apartment complex. There's no reason why he shouldn't have been questioned too. They could, you know, they could clear him like they did everybody else. They just didn't even take a moment to bother.
Yep, and the worst part is they had a thumbprint and a handprint. If they had just fingerprinted this man. Yeah.
So
Yep.
fucking frustrating. Oh my God,
So
what did
fucking
the son do?
frustrating.
What did the son do? Because what didn't he look up to him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Now, the same year that Linda was killed, earlier that year, Joe Mills was convicted of grand theft for forging a will. He wasn't incarcerated, but police did process him, taking his finger and palm prints. So in August 2019, those prints were matched to the prints that were taken at the crime scene by Edgar Pickett and used to corroborate what the DNA showed, that Joe Mills was indeed present the night that Linda was murdered and was likely the person to sexually assault and strangle her. Over the course of several weekends after they figure this out, investigators surveil Joe Mills. They wind up taking trash from his house. So very similar to Golden State Killer, where they have the profile, they know it's him, but now they have to like nail in the coffin it. So they surveil him, they follow him, they're waiting for him to just like throw a piece of trash on the ground. He never does. They wind up taking his trash from his house and they find a piece of used medical adhesive. So like a Band-Aid or whatever. They send it to the FDLE to confirm. And it, of course, is a match.
Match.
They look into his history. He's married. He has kids. He has grandkids. He held down steady jobs. He even owned his own business at one point. Days before he was arrested, Tim and Jeff were informed that Coach Joe was their mother's killer, and they were like beyond fucking stunned.
I could imagine. No, I can't even imagine.
I
Like,
know.
holy shit. Like, I'm still stunned.
And like I said, so since he hung it up in 1981, Tim kept that football team photo hanging in his house. Even to the point of him finding out that Coach Joe was the murderer, he still had that hanging up in his house. In the photo, Coach Joe is standing directly behind Tim.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
So upsetting. And he said that even once his after his mom's murder, when Coach Joe would drive him to and from practice, he would sometimes ask Tim if there was any news or leads in the investigation. Yeah. So what the fuck? So December 12th, 2019, 38 years after she was killed, Joseph Mills was arrested in the murder of Linda Slayton. He showed zero emotion upon his arrest. They have like camera footage from inside the vehicle when he's being arrested. He just sits in the back seat, like doesn't say a fucking word. No emotion. When he's questioned at the station, he states that he had never been inside the Slayton's apartment. However, once he's presented with the mountains of forensic evidence against him, his story starts to change.
Of course it does.
So he claims that he did indeed go into the bedroom, but he went in because Linda had invited him in the room for consensual sex. And he claimed that him putting the coat hanger around his neck was a sex game gone wrong. Now, obviously, due to the severity of her injuries and, you know, the wounds on her body and whatnot, investigators know that obviously this is not the case, that in no way, shape, or form does this appear consensual. So they put forth the following story. Joe Mills returns to the Slayton's home hours after dropping Tim off after football practice. He broke into the apartment through the open window. Investigators believe that he entered the home before anybody else had gotten there. So there was a brief period of time where Jeff was still at his grandparents and Tim and Linda were at the neighbor's house. And they feel as though that's the reason why the boys didn't hear anything, because he was already in the house when they got back home, hiding.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So they believe that Joe entered the house, waited in her closet for her to come to bed later that night. So when Linda entered her room after saying goodnight to her sons, Joe attacked her, raping and murdering her.
Fuck, dude.
Jeff and Tim do not blame investigators for not looking closer into Joe Mills at the time of their mother's death. Jeff even named his son after the cold case investigator that reopened the case like 19 years after she had died. The brothers wind up meeting former Sergeant Edgar Pickett when he's 94 years old. They thank him for finding the fingerprints that wound up helping solidify the case against Joe Mills. Joe Mills pleads guilty, which is shocking. He
It is
pled
very
guilty to,
shocking.
I know, to all the charges against him, including first degree murder, sexual battery, and burglary. At his sentencing, the brothers and Linda's sister Judy beg for Joe to just tell them why he did what he did all those years before. Tim addressed Joe in court saying, quote, "I saw the crime scene. I saw what you did, and then you act like my friend. I rode in the car with you. Why?" And the end quote. That was Tim. And then Jeff added, quote, "Why, Joe? Why'd you take my mama? I don't know why you can't tell me why. Why do you have to murder my mama?" It was so fucking sad to watch this.
Oh God, I can't
And
even
this
imagine.
bastard sat there and said nothing.
Nothing. Of
Sat
course he did.
there and said nothing. When he did finally address the court, he only defended himself, stating that he was a good person and was not the monster that, quote, "they're painting me out to be," end quote.
Okay. Sir, no, that's not how this works. You are
Correct.
exactly the monster that everybody has painted you up to be. Just
Legit.
saying.
Legit. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The brothers are left unsatisfied. So they feel as though he did deserve to go to trial. They wish that he had pled not guilty, so he had to withstand a trial. They feel as though he should have been made to stand on trial and explain why he took their mother from them. They're angry that he never apologized and that all of these years later, he had the benefit of living a full life and raising a family. Props for sure goes to the prosecutors of the original crime or the processors of the original crime scene for having the foresight to take evidence that they could not have possibly known in less than 40 years would put the murderer behind bars. Like DNA was a glimmer in people's eye and they knew enough to still swab for that stuff, which is fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah, for sure. The brothers state that they only survived because of one another, that the support that they gave to one another kept them from going. Kept them going and allowed them to stand together and confront that man, the man that killed their mother. And former Sergeant Edgar Pickett died in April 2023 at the age of 95, but he did live long enough to meet the boys and see Joe Mills get put in prison.
I love that. I love that. I'm so happy that he at least got to see that. Damn.
So that's it. That's the story of the murder of Linda Slayton.
Wow. Wow. You know what? It's always worse when it's somebody you know and trust. You know what I mean? Like, I have no words. Like, I
I
can't
know.
even imagine what these boys went through. And then after all these years to find out that it was
This
somebody that
man that
they,
you knew.
the man that they knew, a man that they looked up to, a man that was in a picture that was hung in their home for how long? You know what I mean? Like, I can't even fucking imagine.
I know.
And for this motherfucker to not even show any kind of remorse or any kind of
Or
emotion,
even have the,
apologize.
even have the slight a bit of kindness to apologize or say anything whatsoever. Just sat there in silence, and the only thing that he said was like, they're mean. I'm actually a really nice guy. They're
Okay, sir.
lying. All right, murderer.
Wow. I'm glad that they caught him, eventually. And I'm
Ancestral
glad
DNA is the fucking shit.
it is the tits, dude.
It
Like,
is the tits.
it's It's so fascinating. That
It's my
and
fave.
the cellular data are like two of my favorite things, where they could triangulate where the cell service was, and oh God,
Yeah.
I fucking love
Yeah.
it. I
Like
fucking love
all of
it.
the like the digital forensics is fascinating. Like all the shit that put Murdoch away. Like
Yes.
the deleted Snapchat video that they were able to
Yes.
recover and the GPS shit from the truck to
Yep.
show like when he actually was where he was. Oh,
Yep.
dude, I love that shit.
Yep. And it's like, and it just
So
now,
good.
you, this all proves that nothing is actually ever deleted, no matter what you do. So you will always be found out. It may take
Yeah, so
40
like stop
years,
killing people.
right? It may take 40 years. It may take 4 days. You will be found out.
Yep.
So let's cut the shit. Let us cut the shit.
Oh.
And don't kill people because you want to know what it feels like. Okay. Let's
Girl,
not do
yeah,
that.
for real.
You can love
For
true
real.
crime, but let it end there. Love it, research it, whatever, but don't act on it. Okay. Okay. We
Yeah,
learned that
to
from
quote
last
the
week's episode.
exactly, to quote the TikTok creator that I like who's a cook, love it, leave it alone. Love it,
Exactly.
leave it alone.
Exactly. Wow. Well, thank you for telling that story, Charlie.
You're welcome. Thank you, Nicole, for suggesting that story.
Yes, that was a great fucking story, and I'm so glad that you told it and we were able to hear that one. I just
It's crazy.
yeah, it hit me right here in the feels. It really, really
All
did.
the fields.
Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to another wonderful episode of Bed Crime Stories. If you have any story suggestions, or you want to say hi, or you want to send us pictures of your dogs, or you want to email my heart like Britney Spears, you can. Our email address is bedcrimestoriespod@gmail.com. Or you could slide up into our DMs on the Stagram, which is Bed Crime Stories. And I would just like to let you guys know now that I will never stop trying to be funny when I'm talking about how to get in touch with us, because I think I'm funny, even though I know I'm not. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay.
I think you're funny.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very
You're
much.
welcome.
Wherever you are listening, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Also, tell a friend and then tell them to do
Please
the
do.
exact same thing. Whatever you do, please just be kind.
Be the band-aid.
Like, that's super duper important, especially now that we're around the holiday season. Just be nice, okay? Just fucking do it.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
And I think that's it.
I think
Yeah.
that is it.
That is it, right? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys have a good, wonderful day, night, whenever you are listening to this. We will see you guys next week. But until then,
Sweet
sweet
dreams.
dreams.
Our theme song is the song Industrial Music Box by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.